Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. How deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me on this very first day of December 2018. And we're going to look at, why are we here kind of questions, and what do we do with all of this that we're involved in? And hopefully I'll be able to be of great service to you, and that's all I really want to do. We're in our last month of raising money to sustain our radio program, and I hope that those of you who enjoy the Aspire radio program, find help in it, or any kind of service at all, will become sponsors, because our mystery donor is matching donations. And your donation, whether it be a monthly or quarterly, or whether it would be just a one-time donation, will be matched by our donor. He is extremely generous and kind, and I hope that you will help us to sustain what is very, very important here, the Aspire experience. We do far more than just radio, as you know, and television. I also do hospice work, a volunteer. All of the things that I do because I'm allowed to do it because of you and your donations. So make a donation today. Become, what do I want to say? Unconscionably kind. And allow Aspire to continue through your support and to help the world as we do. Everything we do matters in this lifetime. I mean everything. And your contributions matter, not only for the lives of other people, but believe it or not, even in your own life. What goes around certainly does come around. It is obvious to me, and I'm sure it's obvious to many of you. You can go to the website at aspire.org, and on the main page, you will see year-end donations. Just click on it. There's some gifts there for you, and you can make your donation right away via MasterCard or Visa or whatever, and you will receive from me a confirmation letter for your income taxes, because your donation is tax deductible. You will receive, if you become a sponsor, the message of the month each and every month as my gift to you, and you will have access to all of my podcast, video cast, and commentaries, and there are plenty of them. Believe me, there are. And you will, of course, have complete access to all of the discourses I've done over the years for the various TV programs. And our series, What is the Point of It All?, will be airing in January. And I think you will find that very interesting as well. It's about the point of life and what we're all doing here. So there's so much there. I hope you will become a sponsor and help serve humankind as I do. From time to time, I get little snippet questions, and usually a question that comes to me comes in the form of an email, and it's usually pretty lengthy in nature, about something I've said or something that is important to someone. So you just never know. But what I get and what I have here for you today is really beautiful stuff, and it's sent by people who are very, very kind and have been listening, I think, to the radio program for quite a while. First one comes from Terry in Boise, Idaho. And he writes a few sentences about how much he enjoys the program and says, "In your opinion, Greg, why were we born? This is a very difficult world that we live in. And I'm not quite sure why I was born. Do we have fate, destiny?" Terry. Yes, Terry, we all have our fate and our destiny. And usually, if it is not, if you have not adopted a spiritual path, if you have not immersed yourself in an authentic spiritual practice, you will find that your fate and your destiny lie in your genetic nature, your genes, your DNA, and that will be, like the old saying goes, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree kind of thing. How that will pan out in this world for you as an individual, I do not know. It could be, many, many things. Just having a body is a difficult thing. Just having a human body, as you probably already know. Lhasa said, you know, disgrace comes with having a body. And he was saying to us, in essence, a lot of what happens to us in the course of our lifetime happens because of our genetic nature. And if you fall into the genetic path, which means that I become highly emotional, that I become, shall we say, possessive of my identity as merely a human being and nothing more and nothing less, where I just live in the confines of my human nature, then I'm going to find within myself a great deal of difficulty in the course of my lifetime. I'm going to find that my genetics play out, and I'm going to be living, acting, moving in the genetic way in which my ancestors did. And for a lot of people, that's perfectly okay. So why were we born? I'm just going to get it down to that. We are here as a matter of karma. This is the lifetime that was the best we could muster. This was the lifetime that was most appropriate for us based on the state of love that lives within us. And that state of love has to do with whether or not we ever developed the state of the soul. And most people think they have a soul. They want to believe they have a soul, but they don't. We have not attained to the soul. We don't much care about it. We think it just comes with having limbs on our body, and that's about it. We take it all for granted. But if you go a little deeper, and if you really want to know the truth of the whole shamatha here, you have to understand we are here to transcend. We are here to transcend our genetics, our DNA. We're here to transcend the whole thing. We were born as a opportunity, an opportunity for love, an opportunity for the goodness of love to emerge through us. But we do not take that very well because we're so ingrained in our genetic heritage to such a degree that the only thing we truly care about is our body, how it feels, what it wants, and when it wants it, how our thoughts manipulate our life. We live as a form of not compassion, but desperation. And even though we are desperate to try to find out what we're supposed to be doing here and what our life can have and what it can't have, we remove ourselves from the whole effort of what it means to spiritually awaken. When Jesus said, "These things ye shall do, and greater works than these shall ye do," he was talking about the whole effort of what it means to awaken spiritually, to come to that divine place inside where the goodness of love may emerge in us, where we can actually help other people. But we're not interested in that in general, Terry. We're only interested in ourselves and what's in it for us. This whole effort of developing a soul, of coming into the heart, is something very unique that most people are not interested in at all because it requires sacrifice. And we don't like sacrifice at all. We are not into it. We are not willing to give up our hate, our fear, our pride, our vanity. We're just not into it. We're not willing to let a great love overwhelm us beyond our emotions. We're not willing to do that. Forgiveness is a huge part of this spiritual awakening, and we don't make a lifestyle that supports that very important quality. Why? Because it requires compassion, it requires meekness, it requires humility and the ability to be humiliated without being insulted. So there's a lot to your question, and I know my answers are not gratifying, but they are authentic. Most people are not interested in their life and why they are born. They don't see the divine factor that is involved in their own birth. that they have come into this life not to be an animal again and again and again, not to live as a sapien, but to live transcending that and using every life experience we have here on earth to bring about the insight of kindness, of goodness, of mercy, of love. We just don't care. And we live in a world that is getting worse and worse with every breath we take. If you look at this world and what we have done, how we have lived, and the way we have lived, you will see exactly what I'm talking about. It is very, very painful. But there are some of us out there, maybe like you, Terry, who are going to do things to let love live us in spite of all of this, and to have the courage to give and forgive in spite of what the world may seem to be. And if you are of that elk, if you are of that genre, as it were, on the inside of yourself, you will find a great deal of happiness in your life and meaning. And you will find that your destiny, your fate meets your destiny, and your destiny meets your fate. And you will find that this whole thing is orderly. There is an intelligence to this lifetime and to this life that goes beyond the concepts of right and wrong, good and bad. You have to drop religion. You have to drop theory. You have to drop philosophy. You have to drop everything and learn how to patiently live your life without the need for emotional and mental support. Not very popular stuff, but still the real meaning of it all. Terry, thank you for your beautiful question. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next one. This comes from Jake. He does not tell me where he lives. I do everything I can to try to find a fulfilling life. Nothing seems to fulfill me, even though I think it might or should. So my question, Greg, how do I fulfill my life? Jake, this is a beautiful question and a daring one. And I admire you and respect that you asked it. There is only one thing that fulfills a person's life. Yes, you know what it is. It is love. But it is not the love of the human being. It is not the emotional attachment we have to objects, people, and things. It is not about being grandiosal in your living. I'll get it out. It'll come out. It'll come out. I kind of make up words as I go along here for the sake of the subject I'm in. You will realize as you begin to work upon yourself, maybe more and more separating from your emotionality and no longer giving it the kind of aptitude you think it deserves in your mental strain, you will begin to realize you are the love you seek. This is the biggest revelation a person can have, in my opinion. That everything we're doing really is just seeking love. Now, in the beginning of our life, in the beginning of our livingness, what we live for is merely the whole idea of survival. We just want to survive. But after you've gone through many, many things, and you've seen many, many misunderstandings, and you've seen many painful events happen to yourself and to other people, you start to put some pieces together and you start to realize maybe there's more to all of this than what I thought. Maybe there's more to my living than the things that I think my life would enjoy, like maybe travel or having lots of money or whatever, something like that. You start to look at your life a little differently. You start to see it for what it is and not what you believe it is. You start living beyond the shoulds and the wants and the desires and the ambitions and the prides and the vanities. You start to look very deeply into everything. What is going to fulfill my life. It won't be anything that you might think it could be. And in the beginning, that's very difficult to accept for most people. But then, as you begin to find your place inside, the measure of how you sit inside yourself, you will eventually realize that there it is. It is everything in your life. It is everything in your life that makes your life so beautiful. Beauty fulfills your life in love. So, if you're passing the salt at the dinner table, or you're talking to a friend, or you're driving your car, no matter what you are doing, cleaning the house, helping a friend, no matter what you are doing, everything is mattering. Everything matters, as I like to say. And the mattering, as I like to call it, is how can everything come together to show me how and where I'm living from. It is more important to see where I'm living from and how I got there and how to live in that than anything else in life. Nothing else is more important. So when you start to look at your livingness and fulfilling your life, you have to realize one thing. You are already fulfilled. Your life is already fulfilled. The question is, can you awaken to that life enough to realize you are fulfilled? It isn't about making the human happy. It isn't about getting gratifications to make my emotionality feel good about itself. It isn't about having memories of gratifying experiences. It's in the little small things that we are and do that matters. How you give, how you forgive, how willing are you to learn beyond the concepts of your own thoughts, your own beliefs, your own philosophies? How you manage to do anything you do in the course of a lifetime through the compassion of your heart? These are the things that matter. And the achievement of recognizing the state of your soul, the essence of your soul, this is deeply important. You will fulfill your life by letting love fulfill you, by not living life on your terms, by giving up the I, the me, the you, that whole thing, and realize we are one, and live in the state of mind where there is only oneness that is involved. How you treat anyone is how you treat everyone. How you treat yourself is how you treat everything and everyone. When you start realizing how gigantic this whole life experience is, how magnificent it is in that oneness, you will find your place in this world. You will find your place in life. First, you will realize it is only in being authentic that I have any true measure of meaning in this world. And then second, you will realize that everyone is in accord with that without knowing it. And though they misinterpret and do all sorts of funky things with their lives and miss the point of it all, as it were, they still have great nobility in them, great virtue. And you want to be able to speak to the virtue of a person, not their mind, not their genetics, not their DNA. You speak to the virtue of a person. And when you do, that virtue emulates into kindness. You will feel the touch of love very deeply inside you. And then this love will emulate through you. And you will find that you sustain a certain consciousness inside you that has nothing to do with desire, ambition, and pride. So, there you are, my friend. How do you fulfill your life? By emptying your life out. By getting rid of the whole idea of philosophy, of fulfilling your emotionality, of right and wrong, good and bad, all of the stuff that you and I think we know we must empty ourselves of. And then in that emptiness, you will be fulfilled. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. I hear you. This is from Kirby. And I don't know where Kirby lives, but he emails me some very wonderful questions. And we've heard from Kirby before on the program. I hear you talk about this idea of within. Where is the within? What is the within? I don't get it. Kirby. This question of the within is a very, very beautiful one. It is the state of your and my nothingness, no-thingness. When I am not interested in the thinging of my life and trying to bring thingingness into my life through the world, I come to a place where I can understand the nature of love within me. It is only this within. It is that place that is the center of our being. You can't find it with your mind. You can't find it with thought. You can't find it with desire, ambition, and pride. You can only find it as you yield and let go. As the Buddha said, to want nothing with all of your heart. It is the state of the heart, and once it is understood for what it is and the way it is, you will find that you start changing within yourself. You will start a transformation. People want to be possessive of their thoughts and their ideals. People like to think that they know what is good and bad, right and wrong. We like to possess whatever it is that we think is our sanity. But we have no sanity. It is sanity that got us into the situations we're in right now. No, you have to let go of everything. Let go of wanting, desiring, thinking. You have to let go of everything. It is only within our emptiness that we find our withinness. In that emptiness that I speak of, where there is nothing to be thought of, nothing to be gained, do you find the within? Most people do not have the courage, the discipline to do this. And this, again, is why the world is a difficult place to live, because we live in that kind of craziness all the time. Where is the within? It is the pause, the gap, the space between your thoughts. It's the pause, the gap, the space between your breaths, inhale, exhale. It is that space that we all have within us that is the meaning of what it is to understand the nature of our life as love. You won't understand it, Kirby, with your thoughts, and your thoughts cannot find this within, this emptiness that I speak of. So don't go there looking for it. Seek the way. Be very diligent. Practice meditation. Dropping your mind, dropping your mind, dropping your mind. Keeping that focus on, I don't have to think to exist. I don't have to want to be happy. I don't have to be gratified to be fulfilled. If you can do those things, if you can live in that manner, you will eventually find the meaning of what it is to find the within, the emptiness that fulfills everything. I hope that helps you, Kirby. I gotta go. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Thank you for your ears today. Thank you for listening. I'll be back on the air tomorrow morning. Please forgive me. Namaste.